Let us not waste another second, and welcome to Dave Poulin, our TSN Hockey Insider. A presentation, as always, this morning of the Myers Automotive Group. How you doing this morning, Dave?
Doing very well, gentlemen. It is so nice to look up at the banner and see no PPD beside any of the games last night in the National Hockey League. It's just so refreshing to look up and say, oh, we don't have to figure that out. And, of course, the news coming out yesterday that the schedule is out now, and or the night, I guess Wednesday night, it came out Thursday morning, and it's loaded up. So we're going to have lots of fun watching lots of hockey for the next few months.
Yeah, unfortunately for the teams in Ontario, in front of no fans, though, for the next 4 weeks or so, which, you know, just as an overall thought, and for MLSE, which has very, very deep pockets, not great, and they've got the Raptors to think about as well, but here in Ottawa, and listen, the Sens have been run as a budget team for several years. What do you think the impact potentially could be more longer term? They've got 11 games, Dave, between now and February 21st, which will be played in front of either no fans or at most 500 fans.
It's just not good all the way around, JR. And now, what I am hoping, and I'm not sure how optimistic it is just as you just said, it's 11 games. Things have changed so quickly here. And there have been about faces and spins, and that it doesn't get that long, that in the next shorter period of time, you know, things do break, the hospitals do break a little bit, and in terms of their numbers, and they make another decision that says, okay, we can go. And there's so much planning that has to go into this. And, you're thinking about the fans, but you're thinking about all the people that work there as well. You know, all the people that supply the building, all those different trickle-down effects that are just enormous. I know I have a friend in the restaurant business, and twice now, he's thought he was opening, been told they were opening. One was on Memorial Day weekend last year, and ordered all the food, and then told, no, you guys aren't opening. And it was like, wait a second, we've got freezers full of food here. And so there's just so many other factors that go in besides, you know, the actual playing of the game. And I just, you know, I'm just hopeful that something else breaks along the way here and that things return to normal sooner than that mid-February date that they gave.
Pooley, in the case of the players, is it just at least nice based on kind of the new COVID rules? And at the same time, hey, I can look. I got my schedule here. I got 50 games starting last night in 99 or 100 days, and whatever the fans' control is or anything else, I can't control that. But at least I've got a plan now of what I'm going to be doing playing-wise.
You do, Simmer, and you have a plan that you've never seen the likes of, and you can't be overwhelmed by it. And you really have to narrow it down. If you look at the whole breadth of 50 games in 100 days, it is absolutely overwhelming. So you worry about the next game, and that's what you worry about. You prepare for the next game, and that's what happens. The weird part is, I think, going to be going back and forth and, you know, jumping on a plane and flying for an hour and a half down to wherever, you know, the island or Boston or wherever, playing a game in front of a full building, and then coming home and playing in front of an empty building again, or, you know, 500 people. Like, that's the strange part, is the back and forth and the reality that what you can and can't do. I think that would be the harder part.
All right, you called last night Sens-Pens game. Pittsburgh big lead. Ottawa claws back in the third period to make it close, and then the Penguins add the empty netter to win it 6-4. Just, how do you think the Ottawa coaching staff, as they wake up this morning and reflecting on that game, is going to feel about that game?
A lot better than they did after the Buffalo game. And I think it was the compete level in that third period. And it started right away. I mean, literally right at the start of that period with the Stützle goal. And, you know, there's so many factors. I think we watched a team in Pittsburgh last night. We keep thinking the Pittsburgh Penguins are going away, guys. We've thought that for a few years now since their cup wins in 16 and 17. And they're not ready to go away yet. There's so much veteran savvy, know how to score a timely goal. You think about last night, and, you know, the kind of subtle additions they've made, like a Jeff Carter. He's got his two cups, and people thought he was done in L.A. But it's at certain points in a game like that when they can score a timely goal. It was the Crosby power play goal for me. And at 3-1, I said to Gord Miller, and I said it on air. I don't think I just said it off air. I think I said it on air, too. I said, this is a very winnable hockey game. 3-1, maybe it was going into the third period. This is a very winnable game. And I felt like that throughout. I didn't feel like they were overwhelmed at all. They had a great start. I think the shots were 16-5 at one point early in the game, and Ottawa was down. And Pittsburgh's just, they're timely, they're smart, they're patient, and they can weather a storm, and they got a few saves when they needed one. And Jari wasn't great last night by any means, and I thought Ottawa did a great job of getting shots up around his ears and his shoulders, which he fought off probably three or four that I can think of right off the top of my head. But they figure out the timeliness of a game, and that's something that Ottawa is going to figure out. I mean, this team is getting better. We watch them in spurts, and, you know, we see things we really like, and then something happens, we're like, well, they can't let that happen. And it's that specific. And, you know, some sort of breakdown, a coverage play. You know, Malkin off the boards last night, you know, coming off the boards on his play, it's just sneaking through traffic. And the traffic gets held up at center, and he sneaks through. And so it's those things done by veteran players that contribute to, and their next line of players, yes, they have a unique combination of superstars, because you would say Crosby is about as solid a rock superstar as you could possibly get for consistency. And I found something last night that I hadn't seen or noticed, guys. In his 17 seasons, he's never had a season with less than a point a game, which is remarkable. The consistency of that is crazy. I mean, everybody gets injured or has a bad game or a bad year, rather, or a little bit of a down year where you have 5 points under a point a game or something like that. But then you've got the mercurial superstar in Malkin, who you still don't know quite what you're going to get, but it's going to be really good. And then their next layer, their Gensels and Russ, are really, really good. So it's, you know, it's a well-built team, and they're going to cause problems down the stretch here for somebody.
How bad does Ottawa need Matt Murray to grab a hold of the net and stabilize things?
Absolutely. I mean, they just do. And we've talked about this on the show, and I said, guys, that it is Matt Murray that has to do it of these three right now. And, you know, and he's got to do it. And so hopefully this latest little blip is just that. And he's got lots of hockey to play. And they're really going to get to pick with the volume of games. You can take a goalie and who knows, it looks like numbers-wise they may be able to carry three the rest of the way, and I know, Simmer, you hate that as a goalie, but you've got the flexibility of putting Gustafson down and then calling him up if you're in a real crunch of volume of games, and really building a schedule for Matt Murray, and I think that should be the absolute focus. Let's build a schedule that caters to Murray exactly what he thinks he needs, what our goalie coach thinks he needs, make sure the volume's high enough, and go take the job.
How deflating are those goals, most of those goals that Ottawa's goalies let in last night to the team?
Well, the first one eerily was like the first one against Buffalo, the Cousins goal, because it seemed to surprise the goaltender, and kind of on a broken play. Once again, you know, Simon comes down and it's kind of a broken play, and all of a sudden there's a shot coming. It doesn't seem like the goalie's ready. And then the whole weird sequence where the goal gets called back, and I look at Gord, and I said, so does Forsberg get to go back in now? But think about that. DJ Smith was so disgruntled with that goal, it was only 2-1 at the time as it ends up, and he said, nah, I'm just leaving Gustafson in. I just didn't like that goal, turning the stick over like that and raising the pad off the ice and knocking it through your own legs. And they need a big save at the right time. And, you know, I don't think I've been a fan of Gustafson's play, you know, at various points. I don't think he was settled at all last night. And the third goal was he should have covered. It was that little play in tight where McGinn put it through his legs. But there were a couple of other plays where he flat out just didn't cover the puck in tight. He didn't appear sharp on the close in plays that a goalie's responsible for through his crease. And still only gave up two, but he just didn't appear sharp to me.
Do you also wonder if he hasn't played enough, Pooley?
Yeah, that's a great question. And also, Simmer, a young goalie, he certainly wasn't expecting to play last night. He gets settled in, gets the baseball hat on his head, and starts looking around and how cool it is to see all these fans in Pittsburgh, and he's getting the tap on the shoulder. And then he goes in, and they showed him, actually. He goes in because he's looking up at the review. And it was clear it was offside. And so I don't know at what sequence they showed that in the building, but it looked like he's looking up the review, and you could, you know, you're almost picturing what's going through his mind. Like, wait a second, so it's only 2-1. Am I going back out now? Like, what's happening here? And the fits and starts of when he was trying to come off the ice, when they were pulling him at the end of the game, he came, he went back, he went, he went back. I'm like, that's almost like when he went in the game. He started and he thought he was going back and he was coming out and he was going back. So he didn't appear settled, and that is part of it. I think for a young goalie is the uncertainty that he was even playing, and all of a sudden he was.
You mentioned Josh Norris going head-to-head against Sidney Crosby. He got the 2 goals in the game last night. He's on pace, Dave, for more than 40 goals this season. It's a contract year. Good time to be putting up some monster numbers. But as you've watched him evolve, and this is only his second full year in the National Hockey League, what do you think the top end is potentially for Josh Norris? Like, is he a no-doubt number one line center for you now, based on what you've
yes,
seen?
Yes, he is. Yeah, he is. So the first thing that stood out for me last year was his half boards play on the power play and his hands. He had this way of rolling his hands that seemed to be deceptive on both the slap shot and the wrist shot. Like when he caught the puck, I loved what I was watching just on the half boards. That was the first thing to me that stood out. And then you saw his passing, and I think in the way the game ended with the face all marked up the way it was, there's more of a physical aspect to his game than maybe we originally thought. And that's a big line, JR. And that's a big physical line. I mean, you don't think that Batherson's, 6'2 or 6'3, and then Brady's 6'4, and Norris is 6 feet, but they're all north of 200 pounds, and then Brady well north. That's a big line. And so I think the physical aspect of what he brings is more than I thought. I think he's a hard matchup because I don't sense that guys like playing against him. I think he's a pain to play against. And then the skill level, the shooting part of it, and the willingness to go to the dirty areas, he almost had the third goal, and it was a right pad save by Jari on a Brady Tkachuk pass out from beneath. I really like everything about his game. I think he's only going to get better.
How much fun is it to watch Branstrom right now?
He's come and simmer. He just is. The play on the goal, the pass was one thing. The fight through against Crosby on the boards when he held the puck in was really significant. And as we noticed last night, early, they flipped him to the other side and played him with Shabbat some through the game. He got his minutes, but he's coming. And I think that's the fun part is when you watch someone and there's questions, so many questions about can he do this, can he do that? And then you watch more and more, and you don't see it. It's not fully consistent yet. He's still going to get beat sometimes, but he's capable of making a play. And that play on the Norris goal, 4-on-4, I mean, talk about a handful to handle, 4-on-4. When that play happens in the corner, you get Letang off the ice, number one, with Formanton, and then and that was glaring that Letang wasn't a part of that. And then you get to put Branstrom and Shabbat on the ice.
Tim Stützle was credited with, he got the goal, but 8 hits in the game last night. And I think all of us have noticed since the move to center ice in particular, an uptick in the physical side of his game. I normally think of Dave as, you're a center, you're in the middle of the ice, that you're not necessarily kind of in a position to deal as many hits as you would if you're a winger and playing along the board. So what do you think? Do you think he's taken this upon himself to be more physical? Do you think this is a message from the coaching staff and the way they play that they want him to be more physical in the middle? Why do you think, Wilson, that part of Stützle's game?
I just think he's more engaged in the game from center, and that's what's bringing it. He's not afraid of the physical play at all, and I mentioned the first line. He's watching that first line and seeing their involvement, and, they're getting 4, 5, 6 hits a night, each one of those players, and he wants to be in the party. He just does. And it's funny because now that you've moved him to center, he's growing little parts of his game, and wherever he ends up, if he ends up on the wing eventually, who knows how this team breaks out over the next 2 to 3 years, it's all going to help the growth of his game. And it's just another piece of it, JR. He probably prides himself. He looks at the other guys and says, I'm a young guy, but I'm big and strong too. And I can do that. And that was a high volume hit game last night. I mean, I think they were close to 100 hits in that game last night. We see some nights when between the two teams, they're nowhere near that number. But his involvement, I think physically, comes from being more involved as a centerman.
Lots of falling down for Stützle. Is that just age, Pooley?
Yeah, that sequence where Chabot patted him on the head last night and Stützle was showing him on the bench that it was his shoulder and Chabot was patting him on the head. I called him Dr. Chabot because he was saying, no, it's not your shoulder, it's your head. Get back on the bench. We need you. And it was, I thought it was quite funny. Yeah, I think it is. You know, he's been the best player wherever he's played. He's drawn the most attention. You know, he was playing in the DEL when he was 16, 17 years old. And, you know, so I think that is part of it. And I think he'll remove that part from his game where he, you know, where he just fights through that and doesn't react to it.
Dave, if you were to take the temperature of the average Ottawa Senator fan, one of the things that's perplexed them for a lot of this season and last year, to be honest with you as well, is Josh Brown's place in the lineup. They're wondering why he plays as much as he does. He's played every game he's been available for this year. Dylan Hetherington was put on waivers. He's cleared waivers. A lot of people are of the opinion he probably brings more to the table than Josh Brown does. Can you explain to people, you're a former coach and a former player, why you think DJ Smith likes to have Josh Brown in the lineup?
Certain guys, it's just a comfort level with JR. There's no other way to put it. You know, he's had him all the way through. He's been a solid performer for him, and that's viewed through the coach's eyes. And coaches have players like that. And it's hard to, until you get someone, if it's close at all, it weighs his way. It just does. It's human nature in a comfortable way. And it's something that I think coaches always have a player or two like that. And you've got to fight through it with them. And you've got to find someone who's so clearly better that it doesn't give the coach any argument at all. And that hasn't been the case. And I think there's guys coming. And I think we're clear that this guy is coming, and it's going to happen. And people want it to happen faster than it is, but they'll say that he brings a physical element, but he doesn't play an overly physical game. And, you know, it's hard to explain, but it is a comfort level, JR.
Yeah, and I'm actually going to be sincere, but it shouldn't be that hard, Pooley. Do you think he's even an NHL player?
I think he's a depth 6-7 guy. You know, I think he's a guy that... You know, that once again, this isn't a playoff team, Simmer. This isn't, you know, on a championship team. Is he in the top six? Arguably, no. But in a team and a growth that, you know, a good guy brings good things to the team and, you know, is a good teammate and does all those other things well. He's a part of the growth model, until they find someone that they feel outperforms them on an every night basis. So, I think he's a depth defenseman. Mm-hmm.
Edmonton played a really good first period last night against Florida and didn't get the reward of a goal, and it was tied 0-0, and then everything fell in after that. You know, it's kind of like that level of water, you know, that always finds its lowest spot. That's where the Oilers are right now. But 7 losses in a row, 6-0. I mean, the final scoreline probably doesn't reflect the level of the play. All that to say, though, it's 7 straight losses. We saw what happened earlier in the week. You know, everybody is at wit's end. Do you think something is going to happen, let's say they play Calgary tomorrow night, or do you think they get through the so-called Battle of Alberta, and even not, depending on what happens there, we're going to see a significant move from the Oilers?
There comes a time when, as a manager, you have to decide you're going to make the move, regardless of what the score of the next game is or the next couple of games. It doesn't seem like Kenny Holland's there yet. It just doesn't. He's the guy that makes the decision. And it just doesn't seem like he's there. And it's almost, you know, there are times when it gets so bad that it's just like, okay, well, it's so bad and so ridiculous right now that we're just going to fight through this. You know, that's a hard one. I don't know where exactly he goes. Are they a playoff team? They're going to have a hard time making the playoffs, guys. A really hard time. But I think there's only 3 teams coming out of the West. I think there's going to be 5 teams coming out of the Central. And, you know, and Vegas is one of the 3 teams coming out of the West. And after that, you know, your Californias are still maybe going to be a factor. Calgary is going to be a factor. So all of a sudden now it's like, you know, are we making a decision for this year? And, you know, when you have 2 superstars of the stature of what they have, and they've been around for a little bit now, time is of probably on a different time clock, I would say, certainly in terms of making the playoffs. So maybe a move comes first before that, or, you know, we saw such a little blip up in Vancouver with Bruce Boudreau, is there someone in mind that, you know, Ken Holland, like everyone, every other manager would have a list of coaches that he, you know, in his top left drawer, that if they were available, and maybe there's none of those guys available right now, but it seems like it's almost so bad that it doesn't have to happen, JR, if that makes sense. Mm.
Yeah, and Pooley, it seems to be so toxic in the case of Koskinen, and easier said than done, but would that be a simple solution? We talked about Greiss, Varlamov, at least trying to find something to at least just switch it out?
I think so. Well, they tried to 2 years ago with Markstrom, right? They were right in the Markstrom game. And when they didn't get him, it was like, okay, well, we're going to be okay. And they went through last year like that. And they're like, okay, well, they didn't get Markstrom last year. They've got to do something. And, you know, it's tough to rely on a 40-something goaltender to stay healthy. And in a perfect world, if Smith is totally healthy, then it's okay. But it hasn't been. Mm.
Well, those of us that watched some of the game on TV last night saw the little aside where you skated the canal. I mean, we gave you the advice on when. Now, did you do it Wednesday so you would thaw out in time for Thursday, or did you actually do it yesterday before the game?
Wednesday, 3 o'clock in the afternoon, prime conditions. It was great, gentlemen. It was terrific. I enjoyed every second of it.
21 minutes on the down leg, Dow's Lake back to downtown. Is that right?
That was it. Not that I'm competitive or anything, but, you know, I'm cruising along, and I get up to the other end, and I look at the sign. I take my picture in front of 7.8, and I'm like, wow, I wonder how long that took. Well, I got to time it on the way back, and my daughter sent me a note because I sent her the video, and she said, you know, some poor guy's got his briefcase on his commute, and you're going bumping by him, you know, like seriously. Dad, you're so competitive.
There you go. That's the day pulling we know and love. All right. Well, glad you enjoyed your time here in the city, and thanks for the visits this week. And look forward to chatting with you again on Monday. Enjoy the weekend.
Have a great weekend, guys. Thanks.